Well, let's talk about the second module where we talked about mainly first-line therapy, metastatic disease, and really the issue of CDK inhibitors. And one of the things that Matt Goetz was presenting in some of the newer data were some of the data that have come out more recently over the impact on survival. And, of course, we're always, looking for that. But I'm just kind of curious, taking a step back from a more macro global point of view. Obviously, it's great if you can add a therapy that's going to have some kind of impact like that. It's not too toxic. But at a more global level, what do you think this really means in terms of the biology and treatment of ER-positive breast cancer?
So again, there have been now 7 randomized trials looking at endocrine therapy with or without CDK4/6 inhibitors in either first or second line of treatment. There have been parallel studies for each of the 3 commercially available CDK4/6 inhibitors, palbociclib, ribociclib, and abemaciclib. And the results have been incredibly consistent. I don't think you could find large randomized phase 3 studies with such similar fundamental, hazard ratios and things. These drugs clearly improve progression-free survival, and with longer follow-up now are showing survival signals in the years to come. I think it's a great step forward for ER-positive breast cancer patients, which is still the most common kind of metastatic breast cancer. And these are reasonably well-tolerated drugs. They had become our standard of practice before the overall survival data benefit emerged. It was clear that these improvements really doubling progression-free survival, extending the use of endocrine treatment. And here's a really nice thing all these studies have also shown. They've also shown you can delay the time to onset of chemotherapy. Even if you didn't have a survival benefit, I think that alone would have been a compelling reason to use these drugs. It is so much nicer for the patient to be able to put these pills in her medicine cabinet or carry them in her pocketbook and do the things she wants to do, whether it's visit family and friends around the world or just go to the mall and not have to worry about going in for chemo all the time. It's a huge advantage for this class of drugs.
I was kind of alluding also to the biology in terms of the fact that, theoretically, and this is true in the adjuvant setting, the trials of Tamoxifen, for example, you can treat people in relapse. And the question is there some biologic reason that giving earlier endocrine therapy now in the metastatic setting really makes a difference?
Well, I don't have a good answer for that. They've looked at mechanisms of sensitivity and resistance to CDK4/6 inhibitors. And in contrast to the story like in lung cancer with EGFR mutation, where there's a single evolution of a point mutation and that sort of explains it, there's been no such immediately identified point mutation for resistance to CDK4/6. So there's a lot of physiologic stuff, upregulation of CD6 itself, downregulation of RB, other intracellular changes, but it's been hard to pinpoint a single molecular mechanism. I think one of the things that I've taken away from looking at this is that in modern practice, most of these patients will have already seen endocrine therapy before for early stage breast cancer. And so you're kind of supercharging what you're doing when you're reintroducing endocrine therapy to them. And I think that may account for why there is a significant benefit.